Dating is a whole new world for your kids.
Trying to date without a dating app is like trying to build a house without a hammer.
This is the second in a two-part series on modern dating. We look at whether dating apps are kept safe and the many ways to meet your lifelong spouse. This is Navigating the New Age of Online Dating with our host, Amy Kobabe, on KSL News Radio.
Meet Brooke and Rupak Kumar. They've both experienced the woes of using dating apps.
I'm sure it maybe would have been different if there was a lot of people, you know, expressing interest in a lot of dates, you know, in a given week. But I think just given kind of the time we met, there was a lot of matches. But again, a lot of people just wanted to talk and weren't really committed and didn't really, not same phase of life, I guess.
And they're not the only ones dealing with these frustrations. Dating apps are now the number one way people meet for romantic relationships. The dating world is no longer dominated by mutual friends, high school sweethearts, or meet cutes. So this is obviously a cliche, but the reality now is that a majority of people are looking for love with their thumbs, matching and meeting up with people who they hope will want to fall madly in love. Enter Tia Westover.
I am the director of marketing at Mutual.
Mutual is geared toward members of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And Westover says she thinks dating apps are not only useful, they're necessary.
Yeah, I can't speak for all apps. I'll start by laying that out there. I can speak for Mutual. Trying to date without a dating app is like trying to build a house without a hammer. You can do it. It's just a lot more difficult. Dating apps are the number one place that couples meet nowadays. It's the number one place people get married from. And so whenever you have the number one of anything, there's going to be things that are negative and hard about it.
Some of those hard things Westover is talking about can be dealing with sexual assault, something we focused on 6 months ago in the first part of this series. A new bill passed in Utah earlier this year requires dating app companies to clearly display best dating practices to promote safety. This is after research at BYU found that dating apps were being used as hunting grounds for serial offenders to look for victims. And an issue brought up 6 months ago by researcher Dr. Julie Valentine at BYU is that some dating apps still aren't even using the term sexual assault. I'm just going to get it out. Let's do an example here. So I go to a profile. Let's go to an older one. No hablo español. So nothing happened with this one. We didn't speak the same language, right?
Right.
So if I were to report them, where would I go?
All you do is press that button and it's report.
And it's report. Okay. Report profile.
And then it will give you options. Why are you reporting them?
So you have inappropriate bio, inappropriate tags, photos, fake account, requesting money, advertisement, spam, other, and then you have no reason.
Yeah.
So one thing that I've heard from Dr. Valentine, when I spoke to her, an issue is that it doesn't say sexual assault. There's no option there for sexual assault. Is that something that is talked about, is considered, you know, when you're looking at safety, or is that more in the back burner? Because it's just not there.
Yeah, we're always looking at it. And the truth of the matter is we recognize there's always room for improvement. And that specific phrasing might not have been presented as an option of like, we need that. And so we're always looking and considering it. And we also try to give those options where people are able to like overarchingly categorize something.
So it's more of a broad stroke.
It's a broad stroke. But even hearing this, I'm going to go back and give it to our product team because it's the kind of thing that we want to improve constantly. And as a startup, we're able to make quick changes. And so if you see this come up in a couple of weeks, it might be there. Because we have a small team of people making big changes and we prioritize safety. So if anyone ever sees something that they're like, you could be doing this better, write in, tell us, because we want to be doing better. We're constantly working to make it the safest app out there.
As of September, the company has added a new option to report someone for assault or harassment. They also include the option to write more about a report. Still, Westover says Mutual treats safety as a priority, even over making money.
If you meet someone on a dating app, even if it's for members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, it doesn't mean that they're good people. You have to go in with that understanding of you're working with someone you don't know. This is a stranger, and operating with those safe practices. So are dating apps safe? I believe yes, but I also believe that it depends on the person. And I believe it depends on their practices and how they behave. But I think that about dating no matter where you meet them. If you meet them at a bar, if you meet them at church, if you meet them anywhere, these things happen. And it's learning beforehand the signs of it, learning yourself, finding ways or things that you're comfortable, finding ways to say no, especially like the millennial generations, the people pleaser generation. Like research has shown that. So when you have people pleasers that are in these scary situations, how do they have a script of how to get out of them? Like, you don't owe anyone your kindness when you're unsafe. And so it's the kind of thing that we work very hard to educate our community. We educate them through in-app ads. We educate them through our blog. We educate them through push notifications and emails. And because education is the biggest defense against sexual assault and other crimes like that. It's the biggest defense against scams, is like understanding that there are people out there who don't have the best intentions. And so while as an app, we will put in as many defenses as we can, if you're going to date, there's inherent risks with it. And it's taking the precautions that you need to take to be safe in any situation.
It's not just the safety concerns that has some people looking to swipe left on dating apps altogether. Many people are turning to more traditional or non-traditional methods, coming up a conversation with a matchmaker focused on finding the one for a very hefty price. If you have experienced sexual assault, help is available. We have a full list of resources on our website, kslnewsradio.com. You can also call the 24-hour sexual violence crisis line made by the Utah Coalition Against Sexual Assault at 1-888-421-1100.
Our host, Amy Cobabe, is part of the team that brings you Jeff Kaplan's Afternoon News. Important news and weather, plus Jeff's Minute of News. Jeff has you covered on the drive home on KSL News Radio.
Chances are, if you're not using dating apps, you know someone who is. If you or your spouse met in college in the 70s, your kids have probably not only used one, but multiple dating apps. But many people have become so exhausted by the constant swiping through photos that they're now turning to matchmaking.
Matchmaker, matchmaker, make me a match. Find me a find. Catch me a catch.
And although it sounds pretty old-fashioned, it's become popular again in part thanks to several Netflix series.
Matchmaking has become a tough job, but I'm trying my best.
Add Utah's uniqueness, and you get Amy Seal, CEO and founder of the Latter-day Matchmaker, one of many matchmaking services based in Utah, like Salt Lake City Matchmaker, Vita Matchmaking, and Luxury Matchmaking. Seal says she was looking for a career change years ago and discovered matchmaking.
It's very big on the East Coast. It's really big in other countries. But in Utah, no one was doing this. And so I started researching the industry. I got certifications, and I was teetering.
There are
yes, there is a matchmaking institute in New York City, and I flew out there, went to conferences, and so I have a big network of matchmakers outside of our faith. That it's a great network of people, because even though we are people of faith and some of them aren't, like, the issues are really similar. And so we learned from each other as far as, have you ever had this scenario? Confidentiality is really big in matchmaking. So I do network on social media, but I never share clients' identity. I have to be really careful, especially in our community, to not share anything too specific about them. But I can vouch for them. I can go on social media and say, I have this amazing guy. He's Ivy League educated. He is a total gentleman. He really wants a family and served a mission to France. And, you know, I can go on and describe this guy. And women are like, that is who I'm looking for. Sign me up. And so I get all these leads and I interview them. I go through the leads on behalf of my client. And the client decides who they want to go out with. So I'm not saying, here's your one and only. I present options. But I do it by first getting to know the client, and I do spend several hours with my clients.
That's something that experts say is desperately lacking in modern dating. Basically, an adult in the room, someone to be a neutral third party, especially when so many people are meeting strangers online and then signing up for dinner.
I set up my clients with amazing people, but I'm not vested in any one person. They will share their criteria with me, and that's sometimes hard for them to do because it's in their head, but to share it is really hard because they don't want to sound shallow, but everyone wants to be attracted. And so in order for me to do my job, I'll show them about 30 photos of the opposite sex, and I ask them if they would swipe yes or no. And again, I have to kind of coax them into it and have them tell me why. So sometimes they're holding themselves back by saying no, no, no. And then when I uncover the reasons, it's amazing.
But Seal says using dating apps is something she still encourages her clients to keep up.
People are looking at the wrong things. And so I do matchmaking, but I also encourage my clients to keep all their options open because you never know where you're going to meet your spouse. So I'm like, stay online, be on Mutual. But I want to look at your profile and see what you're writing about yourself. And more often than not, we do a revamp and we got to get new photos. People have horrible photos of themselves. And a lot of times they'll send me those photos and I meet them in person and say, wow, you're much more attractive in person.
Still, this matchmaking service isn't cheap. Seal says her clients are paying $10,000 for her work.
It's a flat fee and it's not cheap. It is a luxury service because I'm spending a lot of time networking on their behalf. And so that's the downside of matchmaking, unfortunately. It's like hiring a recruiter for love. And so they're paying a fee. The amount of dates is based on the initial evaluation where I'm able to understand their parameters. And if they are like hard and fast, that they will only date blondes who are 5'4 and have blue eyes, then I'm probably going to have fewer dates and work a lot harder. But if they're flexible enough, I mean, I have really attractive people that I can set people up with. If they're attractive, I mean, you kind of have to assess, and I can help, what your level of attraction is. I mean, that's just the reality of dating. If you're more average, we can try to...
Do you charge more if someone's more average?
No. Usually, okay. Well, it depends if they want someone like a supermodel, right? And they're average. There's attraction factors. So if a guy wants a supermodel and he's very or maybe below average and he won't bend on that, I probably wouldn't be able to take him and be successful. And so I'll give a lot of warnings about that. I can set him up, but I can't really promise success. But if he's willing to say, okay, maybe I can bend on a few things and I'm willing to do a makeover. Because we can all improve on our attraction with different... I mean, we live in a kind of a superficial world. And so I don't want to get too superficial and crazy. But, you know, I mean, you can buy some new clothes that look nice and flatter your body, right? Mm-hmm. And I can help with that. But as far as the fee, it's a flat fee. And if we're doing the VIP matchmaking, that flat fee is $10,000. And that's going to be full consulting and matchmaking for up to 6 months. And the dates are going to depend on who they want.
Seal also works with a dating coach, someone whose professional job it is to help people navigate modern dating and the impacts it has on their mental health. That's part of the $10,000. But there are others working in Utah with mostly young singles to help them navigate the dating world in a healthy way. Coming up, I'll speak with a dating coach who says her job wouldn't be the same 10 years ago before the rise in dating apps.
Dating is a whole new world for your kids.
Trying to date without a dating app is like trying to build a house without a hammer.
This is the second in a two-part series on modern dating. We look at whether dating apps are kept safe and the many ways to meet your lifelong spouse. This is Navigating the New Age of Online Dating with our host, Amy Kobabe, on KSL News Radio.
The rise of online dating in the last 10 years has fundamentally changed the game when it comes to finding a romantic match. Most people who got married over 10 years ago would say they never used a dating app or website. Most people now, though, use multiple apps. And that has helped Loni Harmon find her passion in life.
I came into this through the School of Hard Knocks. I actually started my career in behavioral addictions and found myself single and back in Utah postgraduate school in my late 20s, and everyone's wondering, what is wrong with you? And I thought, is there something wrong with me? And so I just took advantage of working with amazing therapists, myself, as well as just colleagues, and voraciously reading until I feel like I cracked the Utah dating code.
Harmon was able to find her own match and is now happily married with kids. And she's using what she learned along with her therapist background to help others find healthy ways to date, even online. She calls herself the dating counselor.
One of the most profound things I think I've discovered since starting to work with singles, which was clear back in 2011, singles have this, it's just me, I'm the odd duck. I don't know what I'm missing out on. And it's very common in Utah culturally for you to feel as though you're the only person in the room that does not understand this secret that everybody else seems to have discovered. And you keep this hidden and you kind of just, you know, are frustrated and alone, feeling like nobody else understands.
Why do you think, is that unique to Utah? Is there something about Utah that makes that happen? Or is it just that that's the dating world that we live in wherever you live?
I've been fortunate enough to work with clients throughout the country and even internationally, where I know that relationship anxiety is something that, you know, goes across the borders. But I do feel like it is, there's a higher percentage of clients that suffer from it here because there is such a cultural predisposition to marry young. And if you don't get married, it's almost as though you don't transition into adult status, like you're still at the little kid table, or if you're going on this extended family vacation, you're sleeping on the couch or you're sharing a room with your parents. That's super common. And you just feel like you're treated less than. It's so frustrating. I always have to tell my clients, like when it comes to the holidays or Thanksgiving, I'm like, put your seat at the table. Be at the big kid table. You know, when you're walking into any area of your life that you're in professionally, you're leading meetings, you're a news reporter, you know, you are a big time adult, but then you go in your family and it's as though you haven't grown up yet.
The fact is that people are dating online. They are using apps. That mm-hmm. is the most popular way that mm-hmm. people are dating. Mm-hmm. How do you think that is affecting people psychologically?
I think the dating apps affect people psychologically because there's this way that we are given so much data and so much information that we have to figure out some kind of a filter in order to separate who we're going to date. And so people will kind of come up with their own filter of, you know, maybe it's looks, maybe it's height, maybe it's education levels, things like that. But they can go through and be so selective that they just keep swiping and swiping and swiping. And so you enter into this paradox of choice. If somebody has too many choices available to them, it's more likely that they're not going to be able to make a choice at all. And so they'll keep thinking, I'm chasing a feeling or an emotion I'm supposed to have very quickly. And if they don't find what they're looking for, there are many more options out there to continue looking.
Right. There's always someone to swipe on still.
Yes. And I think that makes the pressure of the first date feel much like an audition for a show where you're up there and you're like, I guess I need to, you know, sing and dance and act and be this triple threat in order to be chosen or in order for someone to be interested in me. And many people leave dating feeling like, well, I don't feel good enough. So then they avoid it because they're like, I don't want to feel like I'm not good enough. That just sounds terrible.
How do you explain that to people who have never used a dating app?
This happens a lot with parents. You know, the generation before that didn't use dating apps with dating, they often explain dating very, very simply. And it's, I met them, I saw them, I went out with them, and I felt like they were wonderful. And they just explain it like it's some kind of a cosmic occurrence, and it's just overly simplified. So the way that I explain it would be like any other social media platform that they might be familiar with, say it like Facebook or maybe LinkedIn or something like that. Or if they're used to going to like big meetings, being like, okay, imagine going through and trying to find your best friend but you just have their picture and you're just swiping. And sometimes they go, well, that would take a really long time, or I think I would get bored, or that's just no fun. But they dismiss it very quickly because they can't really conceptualize the stress level it brings. And really the vulnerability, the thing that I want my clients to really understand if they decide to go online, is that they are entering into like a hyper vulnerability state where you're basically just saying like, here I am, and you know, you get to know a lot about me and judge me without me knowing it. And I will have a match or I won't have a match. And this validates my existence or makes me feel less than.
Harmon says that although this has made it so she basically has a job, she wants people who are using dating apps to have hope.
Do you think that you would have had a job 20 years ago?
I think that I could have had a job, but it probably would have been much smaller. The job that I do has just gotten bigger and bigger to the point that I teach online classes and groups, and I have like a master's class versus one-on-one because I just can't meet the demand for individuals. So I would say 20 years ago, it was still really frustrating. It was still really hard. I think people were still getting in their way a lot, but they didn't add online dating on top of that. It was like meeting at real life events and struggling to communicate and struggling to be vulnerable and transparent that I'm interested or that I'm not. That was still happening. That's just the tale as old as time, you know? But when you add the apps on top of that, it's as though you go to an in-person event, don't feel validated, so you go home and try to get an app to validate you. And when both don't work, you just feel worthless and you just want to drop out. You know, something has to give. You have to have good experiences to kind of put money in the bank and want to keep doing this to yourself.
So it sounds like online dating really has kind of made for a big problem for a lot of people.
Online dating has become a blessing and a curse. It's a blessing because you can live your professional life and, you know, be out there and still date and feel like you're still trying to meet people. But it's a curse because you're filtering people so specifically and you're not really getting to the first date. And then if you are, you're misreading all of the signals that are happening and it just fizzles so quickly. The number of first dates you go off on an app is pretty high, but getting to the second and third date is just way less likely. And so people just keep swiping. They want some big emotion or thing to happen on the first date that would equivocate them going on a second date, when there's, you know, the first date just has to be good enough. And you get to decide what good enough means. It doesn't have to be me saying that, although I have said to my clients, that was good enough. Stop it. Get out of your own way.
What would you say is the biggest thing that's changed in the, well, even from when you were dating, you know, 12 years ago to today?
I think it's people's ability to decide and choose. There's so many more choices available, and so people feel like they just need to keep looking until they find this perfect match, and they don't understand that there needs to be enough ingredients to make the recipe, but then you keep adding ingredients and things keep getting better and better. You just want enough to be able to go on that first date and then slowly and steady move forward. And I think they're just looking for too much up front. And they can. I mean, they're allowed to. You can just push buttons and then they can figure out if this person is quote enough for them or not. But the filter needs to be something reasonable, but they don't put filter of, is this a hard worker? They put, you know, what's your education level? And your education level and the fact that you're a hard worker could not be the same thing. You could be a very hard worker and not have finished high school. And the value that you're looking at, your core value, is that I want someone who works hard. And, you know, to me, that means they have a master's degree. Well, then I just filtered out all the other people. So it's just getting down to those core values that you want in a person and appreciating the journey for how they got those values versus looking at the way you did or the way that you think people do as being the way that is the benchmark.
Harmon says that she now gets invited to weddings and gets to see clients who once struggled with dating find their person. And she wants others to get to that same place.
My definition of a successful relationship is one where you can both try each other on for a fit and together you decide, hey, we're not a good fit, or together you decide, hey, let's keep going. Once a client can do that pattern once, then they can replicate it very, very easily without me. And usually if they do come back at that point, it's just to kind of check in because they've met someone they really, really like, and they just want me to meet them, and they want me to teach them some of those same principles of attachment building and communication. And they just set off into the sunset.
That's so cute. Mm-hmm. So they're bringing them in. After.
Oh, yeah. It's so wonderful. And it's one of the gifts, I think, of being in this career for so long, is that I can pretty much always tell, like, this is the person they want to be with, versus, like, this is a really good relationship, and it's something that has taught them a lot, and they've grown, and I'm so grateful for this relationship, but I don't know that it'll actually turn into a marriage. But that's the beautiful thing about dating, is that, you know, some relationships just teach you what you need to know, and they help you work out, just like you're working out your muscles, like, they help you work out your communication flaws, and they help you work out, you know, maybe your feelings of body insecurity or attachment issues. And as you kind of work through some of these things, you discover, you know, we're not really compatible long term, but this has been a really wonderful learning experience for me, and I really do wish you the best moving forward. That's what dating should look like too, not just discovering the one, which is a myth. I always feel like people will have, like, a certain chemistry that they explain later as, like, there was something different, and so people assume that means that you knew that they were the one. But having gone through this, there was a feeling that was different about my husband, but it wasn't the he's the one, it was the I thought he was a player. And I was like, well, we'll see who's gonna play who. Not really. But the myth of the one basically just makes us feel like we're supposed to have this huge drive of emotion, and that our brain is almost going to be hijacked to the point that we are completely compelled to be with this person above anybody else. And that's not how it works. You choose to marry someone, and they become the one. Because as you do life together, you can't imagine doing life with anybody else. And you create that soulmate love with each other through sharing your souls with each other. And that takes time.
Coming up, a couple who's done just that.
Our host, Amy Cobabe, is part of the team that brings you Jeff Kaplan's Afternoon News. Important news and weather, plus Jeff's Minute of News. Jeff has you covered on the drive home on KSL News Radio.
Dating apps are now the number one way people look for romantic partners. And chances are you know a couple who heard wedding bells after using a dating app. The Kumars fit perfectly into that category.
My name is Brooke Kumar.
And I'm Rupak Kumar.
And you've been married for how long?
It will be 5 years in December.
And you have one little girl.
Yep, she's a little over two. And then we have a little boy coming end of November.
The Kumars live in Woods Cross, but before they found this happy life together, they were both using dating apps.
I mean, I've heard of some people, like I have a close friend that met her husband on Tinder, and they had like a lot of like close circles, right? Of like, oh, my cousin knew this person, and we could have met potentially outside of, you know, the app. And so I've heard those stories, but I think for Rupak and I, just again, because we come from very different worlds, right? Like, I grew up in Davis County, he grew up in India, like, just very different phase of life, right? Like, where I was, you know, done with my schooling, he still had some schooling left. So I just think, and again, he was moving out of state for school. I was still here in Utah. And so I think, yeah, if we didn't have mutual, there's like no way it would have happened otherwise.
No, yeah. I don't think the Holy Ghost would have worked in that case.
No.
But even though the dating app brought two people together from two different worlds, the Kumars say they're able to make it work.
There has definitely been a learning curve. Like, I remember at work one time, I like made a comment to one of my coworkers, because she's like, oh, because I was married for a few months. And I was like, it's so, like, I think about if I married someone from the States, like, I wouldn't have to worry about all this immigration stuff, right? With like the paperwork, because the first couple months we were married, it was immigration and making sure all the paperwork was taken care of. And so it just, things I never thought of before. But I also think it's a very, like, beautiful thing when you can understand that, like, there's so many different ways to live life, and they're all great and beautiful, and there's not just one right way to raise a family or to, you know, have a relationship. And so a lot of learning curves, as with any relationship, but I think it's been, especially like raising kids, it's been fun to be like, food and language and what things do we want to incorporate.
And this is how I see it. I mean, it's like, you know, I definitely agree with Brooks saying, like, every marriage even though, like when you say culture, I feel like each home has their own culture, right? Like some people eat with fork in their home, some people eat on the couch, and that's just like,
that's true though.
You know, and they're raised very differently, and all of a sudden they meet and, you know, they create their own family. So it's a very beautiful thing.
From your experience, what maybe advice would you give to other people who are using dating apps?
When things wouldn't work out, or if I get ghosted out, or it won't work, like, or make me sad, or like, you know, I would ask myself, you know, laying down, like, what am I doing wrong, you know, those times, right? Why? Because I would see my friends, they got companion, they got partner, you know, and because I want to be, you know, come home and talk to someone, you know, feel my own. And so I had that time for sure, like ever since I came to, you know, it was like, I think 5 years straight when I was like in that phase when nothing was working out. And but same time, I wasn't giving up. In my mind, I just like created this thing, like, oh, I want this type, that type. And you know, we swiped right on each other, or up, or I don't know, whatever. Like, but it was a good swipe, whether it was up or right. And I met her, and then, you know, after being in that 5 year of our marriage, like, I often think back and tell myself, like, I'm so glad that those relationships did not work. I'm just so glad that either they denied me or I denied them. I'm just so glad it didn't work. Yeah, I was sad, frustrated, but I don't think so they would have loved me the way Brooke loves me. Or I don't think so they would have like cared about me in the way Brooke cared about me.
No, I think to echo that, I think a word that comes to mind is just like effort. I think anyone that has dated will be able to understand that, like, it is exhausting, and it's just, you don't have all the power, right? And so I think in this day and age, like, that effort can be diversified, right? So that's whether that's meeting people in person, meeting people online. And I think that effort, like, even though yes, it can be exhausting, and yes, it's time consuming and emotionally involved, right? I think when we put forth that effort, like, yes, sometimes it does give us the desired outcome of a relationship and a long-term committed partner and, you know, that family. But sometimes that effort just results in, like, what Rupak said, of just, like, learning opportunities of, like, oh, I was so stuck on this type, and now actually I'm starting to see that, like, it would be okay if I would be open to dating someone with whatever wasn't on our criteria before, right? And so I think just, yeah, advice would be just putting forth that effort and understanding that effort, even though it doesn't give us exactly what we want and the time we want, we still have that opportunity to grow. And I think, I mean, for both Rupak and I think there were times, and even my family can probably vouch, where I'm like, I'm not dating, like, I'm just gonna do my thing, I'm gonna work. And I think that's okay. Like, I often say, like, if we want something different, we sometimes have to, you know, if we want a different result, we have to do something differently. And so for me, I mean, online dating was very out of my element, but I was just working and busy, and it just, I didn't have the time to be as social as I would have liked. And so I did something different out of my comfort zone and put that effort towards that, and it turned out good.
And that's the hope of everyone using these dating apps or other paths like matchmaking, or if you're lucky, finding romance at school or church. The big question is, will technology continue to become an increasingly impactful tool in dating? And what impact will it have on our relationships, families, and society as a whole? I'm KSL News Radio's Amy Kobabe. Thank you for joining me, and happy dating. Goodbye.